Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Gal Ben Or, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Israel. He's been an Alexander teacher for about 25 years, and he specializes in working with children, adolescents, and parents. We have done an earlier podcast about the usefulness of the Alexander Technique for children in general terms. And for this interview, we're going to focus on, particularly on children with special needs. Gal has worked quite a bit with children in that situation. And we're going to talk today about his experience in working with them and what some of the benefits that children in that situation might get by having some Alexander Technique exposure. Gal, welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert.
Could you begin, Gal, by giving our listeners just a very short definition of the Alexander Technique?
I'll try. Well, basically what Alexander found or discovered through his personal research was certain natural laws that we are supposed to be working with, a certain way to use our bodies, to sit and to stand and to walk and to run and to breathe. And what happens is that we forgot these laws, and then therefore we don't work according to them, and so we create conditions that are weakening us, weakening our health.
Mm-hmm.
And the technique is trying to restore these conditions or helping children not to lose them.
Right. And we talked in our earlier interview about some of the pressures on children, particularly when they get to school, that could, or perhaps the unconscious imitation of people around them who have some harmful habits of posture and movement. And how the Alexander Technique can be useful for them. What differentiates that from, say, your work with children with special needs? What else comes into the mix there?
Well, first, we need to understand that all that's been said for the, I don't know how you call it, the healthy or the regular or children that have no special problems,
mm-hmm.
Counts for children that have special needs.
Right.
They
right.
too are under pressure, or they too imitate the people around them or the children around them.
And so they have to sit on terrible furniture like the other kids, right?
Yes.
And sit at standardized desks in school.
Absolutely.
And so on. So yeah. Right.
So that's one thing. That's the basic stuff.
Right.
Now, talking about special needs, every child has its special needs, and breaking these children into groups with names, well, it helps for talking about it, but if we really want to know how to work with a child with special needs, or what needs to be done with him, we really need to go to the details with this specific child. Because if we're talking about hypotonia or ADHD or all kinds of other names of problems, sorry, I lost my string of thought.
That basically that that in a sense all children are special. I mean, there's not like you don't want to.
What I wanted to say is that what I'm going to say is in general.
Right.
It's a general conversation and not a specific guidance or advice to a different problem to a certain child.
Right, right. Well, you know, maybe an analogy would be, I've done a number of interviews with Alexander Technique teachers who have specialized in working or have experience in working with people with, say, chronic diseases of various kinds. And what comes up over and over again is that the basic way they work is pretty much the same as how they work with anybody else, but obviously they have to take into account the special circumstances of their student. And I'm kind of getting from what you're saying that that's probably true of children as well.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I would say, for example, trust. Building trust when working with children is a basic need.
Mm-hmm.
But with children with special needs, it's even more important. Many children that come to me have already been treated by this or that specialist,
mm-hmm.
and many of them were or disappointed or hurt or something didn't work out like it supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
and then the trust of the child in the adult, in the caregiver, is very, very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say very important to build, to first build that trust.
And how do you do that?
Well, first of all, an Alexander teacher will always work or instruct himself before trying or doing anything with the other person. If, for example, I would like the children or the child to free his neck, I will first create that condition in my neck. And only then, from my free neck, will I be able to ask or transfer or suggest to the child to allow his neck to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And this I would say, this inner movement, this movement of the teacher's attention slightly towards himself and an invitation that comes from there to the child creates a different atmosphere in the room, and it creates a different dialogue between an adult and a child. And the child will not be scared, or will not be forced, will not even think of being forced to do something that he can't or won't or is afraid to do. And
so it's not as so much you, the authority figure, who's simply telling the child what to do. It's more you, the teacher, who himself is learning and experimenting and basically inviting the child to join that experiment and that learning process.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it might be helpful for our listeners to just pause here for a moment and explain that for Alexander teachers, the condition of our necks, that is the area between our heads and our torso, is considered extremely important for overall self-organization. That in a sense, how you manage the weight of your head on top of your spine has huge implications just on a sort of bio mechanical level, if only that, on your overall functioning, your overall physical functioning. So, but yeah, so it sounds like you're kind of joining them a bit in a discovery process. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
And absolutely. I would guess that a lot of the kids you see have been, as you say, to all kinds of professionals, some of whom may have been quite authoritative in their approach, some of whom may have been way off the mark in terms of their ideas. And I would think a child that's gone through that is going to be extremely wary of you, the Alexander expert now called in to
absolutely to
fix them, as it were.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I assume that you, one of your big jobs is not to convey any idea that you're fixing them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can well imagine that. So you're very careful about how you approach them in terms of gaining their trust, not being someone who's going to tell them to do something just because you think it's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I would like to continue your beautiful explanation about the neck and the importance of the neck, and say that when working with special needs, we need to be aware of these special needs, but not necessarily deal with them directly. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, if a child has a problem of, he limps, mm-hmm. for example. A lot of techniques will strengthen different muscles and work on the limping problem. And I, as an Alexander teacher, will not directly deal with it. I will give directions. I will try and create general conditions for the better, so that the limping problem will start to weaken and maybe even disappear, and that will be because the system in general will strengthen. And it's a very, very big difference in the approach. And the child a lot of times protects that, you know, that specific problem, and he won't let go, and he won't allow change, even for the better, to happen if we work directly on that problem. Mm-hmm. And once we let go, we leave that, whatever it is, you know, this, whatever that is, a writing problem, attention deficit, a breathing problem, a speech problem, and we go to the general conditions of the way the child is working with himself, and we will do it while he is playing or reading or doing something that he wants, that he chose, that is interesting for him. And so the technique will be combined in his everyday life activities. His system in general will strengthen. Mm-hmm. And when the system is stronger, the small parts will find their way of strengthening as well.
You know, it's interesting listening to you describing that. In a lot of ways, that's how Alexander teachers work with adults as well. We tend not to, if someone comes in with a limp, we're not going to focus too heavily on that. We're going to look at their overall way of coordinating themselves, and that the idea being that if we can improve the general functioning, specific issues will kind of take care of themselves to a large extent.
Yes.
With children,
it's more dramatic. Yes. And there's two very important factors when we work with children. One is the mother, and the second is the father.
Right, yes.
And we need to take that into consideration.
Oh, absolutely, we do. But, you know, again, listening to you, it's fascinating to think about this, but when you have a child that has a, quote, problem, your approach is to work around that. You're not really going to address that directly, and they're going to be happy in a sense that you're not going to address that directly. But if you have an adult student with a quote problem, chances are they're going to want you to work directly on that, and they're going to also have very likely all sorts of preconceived ideas about what it is that they need to do to fix it. And they want you to join them in their program of self-fixing. One of our jobs working with adults is to get them less interested in that and more focused on overall concerns, absolutely, such as the Alexander technique is concerned.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And when working with children, you need to do the same work with the parents.
Yes, exactly.
You really have to explain them and a lot of times work with them, really give them lessons in the Alexander technique in order to have their backup, in order to have their understanding of the way that you work. Because when someone is looking from the outside without understanding, without receiving any lessons, practical lessons with the technique, it might look a little bit, I would say, not so important. You see, because you see what you see is a child sitting near a table or something, or maybe even on the floor, and the Alexander teacher is sitting by him, and he puts slightly his hand on the child's head or on his lower back, and he's gently directs him or redirects his up along the back. Mm-hmm. And if you're not aware of the sensation of this up, you're liable to miss the whole point. So the whole thing, what you described when working with adults, when they come to get lessons, this work must be done with the parents during or before working with the children.
Yeah, that's certainly been my experience as well. On the other hand, those very subtle directions that you're talking about, often children are pretty quick to pick up on those and respond to them.
Absolutely.
I guess in general, it's always seemed to me, just talking generally about children as students, that the big plus in working with them is they don't, that the whatever harmful habits they've picked up, the are not as strongly embedded, and it's fairly easy if they want to change them relative to adults. But on the other hand, there's a real skill in getting them to be interested in changing them in the first place. And I assume that a lot of what you do, especially with special needs children, is create an environment where they're going to trust you.
Yes.
So that if you put your hand on their neck or their back or their shoulders or whatever to give them a little guidance, they're going to be receptive to what you're suggesting with your hands. And to your words as well, yeah.
Children are very, very, very sensible and sensitive, and they will react very quick to anything the teacher will suggest for the good, and I wouldn't say for the bad, but if you miss or you miss something in your directions, they will react to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be very, very precise and exact when you're working with children.
So if a parent has a child with special needs who's listening to this podcast right now and thinks this might be something I'd like to explore for my own child. Would it be your advice that they perhaps have at least a few Alexander lessons themselves first before they bring the child to you?
I would say together. Mm-hmm. I would say together because what my experience shows me is that I wouldn't say most, but quite some parents will not be able to make the transmission from their own experience to their child's experience, mm-hmm. and they need to see the child and the way the teacher works with him, mm-hmm. and see his reactions and the, I wouldn't say progress, but the changes, the positive changes that occur many times in a very short span of time. Mm-hmm. And even though these changes won't necessarily last for long, but when a parent sees that their child smiles and straightens up and starts walking better or writing better or something on the positive side, they will understand and will be able to transmit from them to their child. But I would say definitely receive at least a few lessons.
Right. And so if a parent comes to you with their child, would you perhaps from time to time work a little bit on with the parent as well?
Yes.
I would imagine that the child seeing that would think, oh, that's interesting. You know, my mother's having a little bit of this too, and it seems like it's helping her.
Absolutely. It's a very, very strong experience.
Right. And I could imagine, I could imagine a situation where the child might actually see the change in their parent before their parent senses it. I could well imagine that. Yeah.
You know, I even sometimes children will start working on their parents.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would say, as a parent, I would welcome that because children can often, small children can give you pretty good direction with their hands sometimes.
Absolutely.
It's not as crazy as it seems.
Absolutely.
Gal, is there anything else that you want to add before we come to an end on this interview?
I would say to parents, I would say, it's maybe a little bit dramatic, but I don't know why I feel I should say that. Don't give up. Many parents started within the conventional, I would say, sort of conventional techniques and with the medical profession. And they're a little bit, and sometimes it doesn't work or it doesn't work as well. And I would say learn what's outside of that profession, or look around you and learn. Don't be afraid to learn and to ask questions and to try. And if you don't want it straightly with the children, do it yourself. You know, get a few lessons. But really, the technique has very, very delicate, unique, and special, but very effective tools to help children with special needs. And it's been my experience for years. It's a great present, I would advise the parents to look it up.
I would totally agree with that. Well, my guest today has been Gal Ben Or, an Alexander Technique teacher of some 25 years experience who teaches in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. He works a lot with children and particularly children who have special needs. He has also written a book on his experience in this work, and he's looking for a publisher. So contact him if you have any suggestions. And if you are in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv and what we're talking about intrigues you, contact Gal. We'll put a link to his site by the interview. And if you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a site that will enable you to find a teacher, an Alexander Technique teacher, anywhere in the world. Gal, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's been great talking to you.